Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Who sent you a postcard, Barry?
It's from Yellowstone, and it says, Dear Barry, with me being out in Wyoming, I blew a few geysers when I heard you dump me for that stupid chunk of space rock.
I just can't take all the lying and cheating on each other anymore.
What are you talking about? I never cheated on you.
I know. That's what makes this so hard.
You've been hoping in general for the super volcano to destroy the world. Do you think it's time?
Serenity now! Serenity now!
We went to the convention. We didn't have the delegates, so I threw all my support behind the sweet meteor death, which really angered the supervolcano.
You don't have the boats.
The sweet meteor of death, is that a real thing?
It's inevitable. Didn't you see Armageddon?
No.
The wrong people win in the end.
And
humans won.
What kind of damage are we...
Damage? Total, sir.
He calls me a traitor, and okay. he says, why do you hate me more than McGowan? Peace, love, and eternal destruction. Sincerely, the Yellowstone supervolcano.
And like that... he's gone.
I apologize to the supervolcano, but I thought our best chance was the sweet meteor of death. I mean, really, at this point, I'll be fine with either one.
Unforgivable.
Matt Spiegel.
One day, if you're lucky, you will die.
Barry Rosner.
Barry, you're living to at least 100. It's definitely happening to you.
Middays on the Score.
Good morning, everybody. I think that last 10, 15 seconds encapsulates how Barry feels about the world. And how his friend me acknowledges that, and what Jay Zawoski really wishes happens to Barry. I think that was a perfect encapsulation. Me saying, Barry, one day, if you're lucky, you will die. You laughing with agreement. And then Jay saying, you're totally going to live to 100. Maybe 115, something like that. Just the miserableness just will not end.
Yeah,
for you.
And those last 15 aren't going to be fun either. Those are going to be.
Oh, but the 15 leading up to it. And certainly, how about now? How about your time right now? How fun is that? Good morning, everybody. It's the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
At this very moment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How's this feeling for you? Let me know in 4 hours how you feel, Pally.
I don't have to wait.
Let me know how you feel at 1:12 when you go to get a train and I'm left here talking to Bernsey and Goff. You let me know how it feels, pal. It is the Spiegel and Parkin Show on the Score. Danny's in Italy on honeymoon. Barry is with me today. Tomorrow, Lawrence Holmes is here. Thursday, Eric Edholm is here. And Friday, Lawrence Holmes is back. So today's my last day with Barry. We're going to do the three technique at 10 o'clock. Three different stories, three guests, three quick hits on stuff that we think is interesting. Joe Madden will be here at noon. We are broadcasting you live from the Hyundai Studios. See the Sonata at your Chicago, Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Can I recommend the Santa Fe Sport? It is a delightful midsize SUV with everything you need for all your travel and family comfort and parking, et cetera.
I need a new car, too.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm up to 112,000 miles.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You take pretty good care of your car, though. I've been in it.
Yes,
it was a long
did.
Time ago, though. It was a long time ago, and you made me listen to the Golf Channel. I believe there was live golf happening on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, we had left the ballpark on the south side, and we got in the car, and we were listening to golf play-by-play.
Yeah, that was happening. Yeah. That was a thing that happened in your car, and I could not wait to get out. I was
nothing has changed about the car. The Golf Channel is still on, and
can't see the people, the women on the Golf Channel. You can't see them when you're listening to the radio station.
That's not fair. That's just not fair.
I'm sorry, that's not why you watch.
And in my mind's eye, yes, I can.
Okay. Before we get to John Lester and the Cubs and Kyle Schwarber toppling into the first row, I'm glad I took Ramblin' Grimace's advice, and instead of watching Armageddon, which I'm never going to do. I'm just never going to do it. I read Roger Ebert's one-star review of Armageddon. And oh my God, is this great. Two quick sentences from the first paragraph of the review. The movie is an assault on the eyes, the ears, the brain, common sense, and the human desire to be entertained. No matter what they're charging to get in, it's worth more to get out. That's Roger Ebert on Armageddon.
All righty.
Hey, no, not judging you if you enjoyed Armageddon. You enjoy whatever you like, people. It's all good. I enjoyed reading that, I'm sure, far more than I would watching it. Although I suppose I could hate watch it. I do like to hate watch things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, except for Ben Affleck, I really liked it.
Okay.
I really liked it because I'm always, you know, it's just a chance for me to root against the humans, you know. And I was really optimistic. Like we were in great shape until the very end. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I really thought we were going to win until the very end.
You were the only guy rooting for the meteor?
Come on. Every time something went wrong, you know, every time there was a problem and they had malfunctions and couldn't get the nuclear bomb dropped where they needed to, I was like, yes, here we go.
It's going to happen.
And then we lost.
I'm sorry for your loss as you watched Armageddon. And it didn't finish the way you wanted to. Before we talk about John Lester and other things, can we just talk about Kyle Schwarber toppling into the first row? Rick Camp and I were laughing about it and thinking about it. It looked like a human 2x4, like just going to the edge of the bong, just falling over like a giant human 2x4 would, like the back end of the 2x4, in this case, his feet, ended up completely straight up in the air because there's no bend. There's not a lot of flexibility to Kyle Schwarber's game.
You have to be impressively not flexible to make that happen.
Yeah, and I think he's a hero. That's why he's a hero to the inflexible among us, several of whom are here in the building and in these studios.
There's
right
a
now.
Certain elegance to it.
Oh!
In how really... unathletic he looks when he does something like that, when he falls into the stands.
It's hard to look that unathletic when you're doing something truly impressive.
Yeah.
You know?
And you think about that catch that he made early in the year, that terrific catch that he made,
mm-hmm.
that was so athletic up until the moment where he can't seem to stop himself and falls into the stands. Then he looks like he shouldn't be on a baseball field.
Right. But he makes some nice plays out there. He's made some nice throws, et cetera. He just doesn't really look the part for a while.
Well, I think we expect too much from a guy who is built like a linebacker, came up as a catcher, and hasn't played very much outfield. How much outfield's he played in the big leagues? I mean, not even 100 games, right?
He just hasn't played a lot of games to begin with, so it can't be that many. That's for sure. But I mean, that's where he's it's where he's going to be. Context, but here we are. The line in the MLB.com recap. The Cubs, who have won four straight to remain third in the National League wildcard race, 1.5 games ahead of the Brewers. I mean, I guess that's true. That's technically true. That's not how I thought about it. As
108 games in the outfield.
108
has,
games.
Has played Kyle Schwarber.
Okay, that's a lot, actually. That's just about all of them. And he's played up here. But this is the story is John Lester throwing 94 miles an hour in the seventh inning. As he said, getting my body to repeat better, finding those repeatable mechanics, he felt better physically. And that's three in a row. That's three starting pitchers doing the job in a row.
I think that was really important last night. I mean, to keep that going.
Right? Keep that rolling. And it's another starting pitcher going tonight who's got a chance to keep it going here.
You don't sound optimistic.
John Lackey, what's the opposite of a stopper, right? Because a stopper is the guy is like a great starting pitcher who stops your losing streak or stops your run of badly pitched games by buying you seven innings and resting your bullpen and giving you a chance to win.
Kevin Kaufman. That would be the opposite of that.
The opposite of that?
Yeah. First name that comes to mind.
Okay.
I reached pretty deep on that one.
Yeah, that was deep. That was very deep.
You're talking September 1990s kind of bad Cubs pitching.
Right? Am I being unfair to John Lackey by having this level of trepidation?
A little bit.
Expectancy of doom?
A little bit. It's an aging pitcher who, if he doesn't have his location, is going to get his brains beat in. It mm-hmm. doesn't separate him from any other aging pitcher who's got a lot of miles on him and in the last 4 or 5 years of extra starts because of playoffs. I think he's exactly what you'd expect him to be. I also think he's capable of of what today is viewed as, you know, a decent start.
Of course he
is. I think he's absolutely capable of that.
He's done it seven out of 17 times this year. He's got seven quality starts and 17 starts this year.
Yeah, I think he's capable of that, especially given some rest that he's had over the last week or two. I think that's possible.
I enjoyed our conversation with Eno Saris from Fangraphs the other day, and on air and off the air, we were talking about pitching backwards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Lackey is definitely one of those guys, and I've said this on the air earlier in the year. He needs to stop being stubborn about throwing the fastball and spotting it early and letting him hit it, because his fastball's not as good as it used to be. He needs to do what a lot of other guys are doing, which is go heavy on the breaking stuff and do it early. Don't be afraid to do it early, because he usually gets there around the third time through and starts having an effectiveness, but he might have already given up a few runs.
Yeah, you say that, and you know what pops into my head is the possibility that maybe it's uncomfortable throwing that pitch. Maybe it hurts. Maybe he's just not all that healthy at this point, and throwing breaking balls is not very comfortable.
I guess it's conceivable. I remember talking about it with him once, like saying, oh, you know, by the third time through, you were throwing a bunch of curveballs. And he said, well, they were swinging so damn much. It's like, that's how he was describing the first. Yeah, they were swinging a lot.
I don't know why those guys swing so much. Kind of annoying.
Right.
I come out here, I'm trying to pitch. I'm trying to throw strikes, and what are they doing? What are they hit the strikes.
So seven out of 17 quality starts. Jake Arrieta, 9 for 19 quality starts. John Lester, out of 20, now has 11 quality starts. Jose Quintana had 9 of 18 as a member of the White Sox, and he's 1 for 1 as a Cub. So he's got 10 of 19. This is the biggest story of the second half, as you and I have said a bunch of different ways. Every time we've been together here recently, they got to get the run together. When you get games pitched like last night and the way they have the last few games, the hitters just go out there and, all right, well, we'll just keep grinding away. We'll get a couple. Well, and then they get a couple in the fifth inning with the Zobrist seeing eye single, and you feel okay.
Yeah. Was there a ball hit hard in that inning? Couple of
the one that Freddie Freeman stopped with the bases loaded on Schwarber
at the end of the inning. Yeah, but I mean in terms of the three hits that produce those runs,
I don't think so.
Yeah, and you get a wild pitch in there, but you're right. You just do what you do. You just relax as a hitter and you do what you do. We talked about this so many times throughout the year on Hit and Run or you know whatever show I might have been on. It just doesn't. All these other things just don't matter if you don't get those consistent starts and you don't put a bunch of them together. There's no run. There's no run coming for this team until that happens.
Mm.
Now you have three. The first one was entirely on the offense. The next three were a nice combination of both. But now you've got three really good starts in a row. We'll see how long this goes.
Good stuff on text in terms of the definition of the opposite of a stopper. What is that? The short answer is John Lackey. Most people say that would
be
the definition.
People were quick with that.
Yeah,
one.
They were quick with that one. But we'll share some reaction with you. We will interact with you. You can call us at 312-644-6767 as we talk about that, among many other things. Also, how to botch both a contract and a relationship. It's visible and on display. It's quite something. And a lot of other things to get to.
I know you got stuff as well. Lots of nuggets for you.
I know it. Keep it right here. It's Spiegs and Rosner on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You have guys that, pitch well. You want to continue that confidence and build on those blocks, you know, and keep going and keep building and keep getting better. So nobody wants to be the guy that breaks that up. And, I think when you get on a roll as a rotation, that's when you're able to do that. You're able to string some starts together as a unit and get a couple turns in there where everybody's pitching well.
Nobody wants to be the guy to break that up, says John Lester, and he was not the guy to break that up last night. Spiegs and Rosner here talking on 670 The Score with you, hoping that the starting pitchers of the Cubs can keep it rolling as they're on a four-game win streak out of the break, and the Brewers lost. It's 3.5. Your scoreboard watching every day here in the second half. A texter said, wait a minute, are you guys laughing and having fun about the Cubs' goodness? That is new for this year. This is exciting, says a texter. He's not wrong. It's good vibes right now. Jason Hayward with a walk last night, but other than that, been hitting very well and looks generally good at the plate. Addison Russell with a 1-0 pitch, pouncing on the fastball to hit a big double to drive in Baez. Those were both with two outs, right? Those doubles back-to-back with two outs.
Lots of guys taking the ball right back up the middle.
Yes!
Really smart approaches.
Yeah, a situational hitting success with men in scoring position? What is this?
Was the text specific to this year? He's talking about this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it hasn't... He's not wrong about noticing
that vibe.
Well, it's been... It's not been a lot of fun for Cub fans, I would think. I'm always surprised coming off the World Series that there's going to be this much of a problem for Cub fans enjoying what happened last year and not putting this year in the proper context. That always surprises me, but I get it. People move on. They want another one. They're hungry for another title. It's just, you have to understand, coming off a World Series, this is pretty normal stuff.
Yeah.
It's usually, there's a lot of ugly. There's a lot of fits and starts and a lot of looking for some sort of magic that you felt the year before, and it just never happens.
A lot of times it never happens.
It's a grind. Uh-huh. It's just a grind. If you get back, the teams that get back, they're just grinding all the way back to get there, and then they don't repeat because nobody has in 17 years.
It's interesting to watch all year Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer try to do what they can to ignite it, to get it going, whether it's with words, whether it's with responding quickly on Miguel Montero, whether it is all sorts of stuff that felt kind of managerial in nature over the few weeks before the break to me. And then now with this trade, talk about possibly igniting something, making guys realize, all right, here we go. Game on. We brought in a real good one. This should add to you, but it's also about the future. We're still not sure what you are.
Yeah. Well, they were going to do something to shock the system. They had to. They knew they had to because they weren't giving up on the season. They weren't going to invest in the rest of this year on for a rental without having some reason to do it, and they've been given no reason to do it. It just so happens they got all of these things at the same time.
Which was the plan and the dream.
They got a shock to the system. They got a guy for this year. They got a guy for the next 3 years, and they didn't give up anything off the major league roster. I mean, all of the things that they probably thought about doing, it, they just all happened to be wrapped up into one nice package.
This segment is brought to you by USA Network. Tonight, Ryan Felipe returns as Bob Lee Swagger in the USA hit original drama Shooter. The new season begins tonight at 9, right after SmackDown, live on USA Network. We're asking you, what is the opposite of a stopper? A starting pitcher who is, you feel pretty good about him giving you a quality start, at least, and stopping a losing streak. Bookie Bob from Cicero says, John Lackey is a reverse stopper. We call that a bleeder. John Lackey is a bleeder. That's brutal. Here's one. John Lackey is the opener. The opener. It's too many other connotations. The leaker. Is he the leaker? It's like instead of putting a stopper into a bottle to stop the flow or that kind of thing.
Wet Butt's brother.
Wet Butt 23.
Wet Butt 23's
Do not
brother.
Deny him his 23.
I apologize.
I assume that's Theo Epstein himself, don't you? Wet Butt 23.
Could be.
Firestarter, a pitcher who typically ends a winning streak in glorious fashion. He's Firestarter. I like this one. Hank Marduka says Lackey is the baseball version of a cooler. He's the
Ooh.
Cooler.
Ooh, nobody wants to be around the cooler.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
William H. Macy?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I had
movie.
Heard that term many times before that. Never seen it put into...
Perfect context for that.
Very well done.
Right?
Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin as just a horrible guy. That's the best bad guy Alec Baldwin performance.
He can play the bad guy pretty good.
Woo! Yeah. Hated him right there.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of reasons to.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Here's a text. Barry Rosner is my soulmate. I'm rooting for the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. You're rooting for the meteor as you watch Armageddon. That guy's rooting for the White Walker. There you go. How about the base running last night? Contreras and Bryant with stolen bases to get into scoring position. And then John Lester with the stolen base. Almost works, too. Another Freddie Freeman great play down the line, or else Lester probably scores, too.
I love the Bryant stolen base because it's off of beating out a double play ball, right? Isn't that how he gets on in that situation, or am I thinking of a different
bat? No, you're right. I think you're right.
And then because of the shift, he sees the opportunity to mess up their entire infield by taking a base on the stolen base. I'm not crazy about the sliding head first. And by the way, it's really bad slide. He hit
from Bryant?
Well, he hit the wet dirt, and he almost came up about 8 feet short. It was like a Willie Mays Hayes slide. It was, because he did the belly flop in the wet dirt and just stopped. But he did get there.
He did get there.
You know, I hate head first slides. You know, gratuitous head first slides. In the opportunity to get hurt. I just hate them.
I understand how you hate them. You hate the gratuitous ones. Yeah. I'm a believer in them when needed in certain circumstances.
Yeah, I know you like the artistic head first slide. It's just the opportunity, even on those, to get hurt because of dislocated shoulders or broken hands or wrists or whatever. I'm just not a fan. But I digress. You're right. The base running was just... You know, except for Baez, and again, I keep asking for a clean game defensively.
You didn't get it.
Still not happening.
The one early run from the Brewers comes because of spotty defense, and then there's the ugly wild pitch, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 if you want to hop in. Spiegs and Barry Rosner here with you. I love that story that you just told me about during the break regarding a revolutionary equipment issue in sports and one guy as the template for it. I want to make sure we get to that.
We'll do that.
I'm looking forward
to that.
What
do we got to do? We can't spare 15 minutes.
Nothing. Who's the Braves manager? Ready, guys? I follow the baseballs. I watch the games as is. I read the recaps as is. And still, every once in a while, you're like, oh, wow, yeah. Brian Snitker is the Atlanta Braves manager. Raise your hand in your car if you knew that Brian Snitker was the manager of a team you might have even watched play the game last night.
You probably remember when this was going on, when he was given the opportunity to manage for a while, and the players really rallied to his cause and... You probably heard it at the time and then just dismissed it.
Yeah, and your brain goes, I don't need to remember that. Your brain makes an elective choice all on its own. Like, that's not something that's going to be important. Anyway, Braves manager Brian Snitker said last night, kind of like a playoff game with the energy and everything else in that stadium. You got two teams that find themselves in a wild card hunt, say it nice and slow, and lots you know it's been said the other way.
I don't even know what you're talking
okay.
about.
But yeah, a lot of Cub fans there in the crowd. A nice active, fun atmosphere for the ball game last night.
I have a lot of things we need to get to today. Lots of little nuggets. I'm going to give you some time with this one. I would like for you to ponder. And I won't ask you for them now. I would like for you to ponder the top 10 home run hitters in the history of the Washington Nationals / Montreal Expos.
Say again. Top 10?
Top 10 home run hitters in the history of the Washington Nationals Montreal Expos.
I really want to do that right now.
You want to do it right now? Don't you want to give people a chance to think about it?
Yeah, I'll give them a chance to think about it.
While you think about it, let me ask you this. Yeah. Could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you think Brian Campbell's getting his own... live press conference on CSN today to have his retirement ceremony?
Because Soupy is an entertaining guy. He was more entertaining with the sandwich next to him. Soup and a sandwich.
I mean, he was the fourth defenseman on one cup team. Does he really need a...
He's transitioning to upstairs, man.
He's going into, like... He's going to be running youth hockey clinics for the team.
Which is a public thing.
Which is nice. Look, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He was part of a cup team.
Why do you hate Brian Campbell?
I just want to know why he's having a press conference.
I'll tell you why. Because he's going to be the public face of some things they do in the community, including the youth hockey. And they want to get a little publicity for that and get you used to seeing him talking with the Blackhawks logo behind him.
I mean, is this kind of like... Jorge Soler getting his press conference on his way out of town,
like
kind of thing.
A highlight video when he comes back as a member of the Royals sometime.
I mean, it just seems like a little bit of a stretch to me. I mean, congratulations. Hey, wow. Great career. You know,
not according to you.
Don't. You're get me in trouble.
Brian Campbell's number is, you know, in the history of defensemen.
You want to get, is what? Is exactly what? They get, is he going to get,
played a lot.
Is he going to get his jersey retired? Are they putting that up there in the banner?
Yes, probably.
I mean, up there in the rafters?
Remember there was a while there when they were rebuilding the reputation and rebuilding the vibes with the fans and such and the organization where there was a statue unveiling every 6 months. You remember that? Every 6 months, there'd be a new statue or a new ambassador. All right, what time do I have to show up at the United Center for pregame tonight? 6 o'clock again. Okay, all right, great. It's a little early with traffic, but I'll be there. Is it the same thing? I have my notes from the Makita statue unveiling.
It's Ken Yaremchuk night. He's going to get a statue or a bust or something.
Hey, if Jerry Azuma gets a retirement press conference, Brian Campbell should get one, too.
This is exactly what that is. I mean, it's
we like you. You were pretty good for a while here, and we'll just wish you well.
Well, you know, we'll try to think of our favorite turnovers in your own end, Brian Campbell. It's which turnover from which game? I think it's probably the Detroit series in 09. Those are the ones that stick out to me. Thank you, Brian Campbell.
That was the one I was about to shout out.
That presentation sponsored by Chris Campoli.
Oh, yeah, right. Jorge Soler, by the way, sent to the minors yesterday. Now back in AAA. That trade looks okay.
Yeah,
looked okay right when it was done too. By the way,
real nice when it happened.
As soon as it happened,
better every day.
It just keeps getting better, even with the wild pitch last night. All right, I'm going to answer your question. We're going to continue taking your phone calls on the Cubs and other things. I know that it was just broken. That much I know. There was a new man tops that list.
Did you just, you heard that last night?
Yeah, or? A couple nights ago, I think I heard that. It's Spiegs and Rosner. Three Technique at the top of the hour on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to 670 The Score. It's a Spiegel and Parkin show. Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner here with you. Three Technique at the top of the hour. Joe Madden at noon. By the way, Jake Arrieta will be on the station today at 2 o'clock with Bernsey and Goff. This segment is brought to you by Volvo. Get up to $4,500 on a new Volvo vehicle of your choosing during Volvo's midsummer sales event. Visit your local Volvo dealer for details on this limited time offer.
Did you see, by the way, the other night, the pictures of Jake Arrieta in a Baltimore uniform?
Yeah, with no beard.
And really small.
Yes.
Like 50 pounds lighter.
I did.
He looked.
Super, super thin, no beard. There was one, I think he had stubble. There was a little bit of stubble. But yeah, the man has changed a lot of things about his body and his face, obviously, and his style and his diet and his athleticism, as well as, obviously, his delivery. He's changed an awful lot about himself. You asked me a question before the break. The all-time home run leaders in the history of the Nationals / Expos.
It came to mind because last night Ryan Zimmerman became the all-time leader in the combined franchise history.
Passing Vladimir Guerrero.
Who's number two. So you have the top two. How many of the next eight are you going to get?
Okay, let me go Andre Dawson.
Third.
Okay. Let me... See, it's interesting. I want to try and get the most and not just blurt out either Expos or Nats. Where's Jason Wirth on that list?
Not on it.
Damn it! Where's Alfonso Soriano on that
not
list?
Not on it.
Not there long enough. All right.
But think Alfonso Soriano for one of the guys that I did not get, because there was a lot of conversation about who was going to play second and could Soriano play the outfield and so on and so forth. This guy was directly connected to that conversation the year that Soriano was there. Does that help at all?
No, it just confuses me deeper. Is Bryce Harper on that list yet?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Where's Bryce
He's
Harper?
He's number six.
Is Adam LaRoche on that list?
No.
Oh!
Either is his son.
All right. How about Tim Wallach?
Tim Wallach is fifth. You're missing four.
Warren Cromartie?
Is not on the list.
Okay. How about Moises Alou?
No.
Larry Walker?
No. You're missing a pretty obvious one. Number four.
Tim Raines?
No.
Pretty obvious one at number four.
Yeah.
An Expo or a Nat?
Expo. And then a Met.
Oh, Gary Carter.
Yeah. So you've got Zimmerman, Guerrero, Dawson, Carter, Wallach, Harper. The bottom four, I would expect you to get one of these.
Where's Rusty Staub?
Not here.
There. Not the Le Grand Orange was not there long enough.
Number
was an icky express. You went about Rusty Staub.
Yeah, there's a lot of icky there. There's a lot of icky there, but mostly because he had his number retired. And it was Andre Dawson's number.
I only say Jose Vidro because he played there a while.
Yeah, Jose Vidro is number nine. He's the guy who was in the conversation with Soriano about where they were all going to fit in at that time.
No, you might as well have said Brian Snitker when he said when he said Jose Vidro. I haven't thought about Jose Vidro.
Well, there's
in a long
one other
time.
Name on here. I think that you should get.
Not Al Oliver. Not. I already said Tim Wallach. What other longtime Expo?
Later played for the Braves, played for the Rockies.
Galarraga.
Yes.
Andres Galarraga.
All right. So we're only missing
God,
two
I do not think of that period of Galarraga's career when I think of him. That's a great call. Interesting.
I do not remember Bob Bailey, who he is, or
I wished he came home. Why don't you come home, Bob Bailey?
From whence he came, I'm gonna. Oh wow, okay. He played for the Mets from '69 to.
Was he a Red Sox player too, Bob Bailey?
At the very end, yeah. Good for you.
I remember that. I remember him at the Red Sox.
But came up as a Pirate, played for the Dodgers. I have no idea who this guy is, but he hit 189 career home runs.
189 more than you, pal.
No question
about
it.
And what else? What are the other names on there?
And so the only other guy on the list is Ian Desmond, who snuck in at the bottom with 110. So Zimmerman, Guerrero, Dawson, Carter, Wallach, Harper, Bob Bailey.
Wow.
Andre Scalarraga, Jose Vidro, and Ian Desmond.
There it is. Thank you, sir. I knew
you'd enjoy that.
I love that.
Only got six, by the way, if that makes you feel better.
Sure. Yeah, actually, I feel great. I feel great no matter what.
Do you?
Yep.
You don't have a lot of reason to feel that good, frankly. We can get into that later.
I refuse. Happiness is a choice, pal. I make it every single day. Taco in Milwaukee, you're on the score. What's up, Taco?
All right, man. But it's Paco with a P, just in case any of my buddies are listening.
Thank you, Paco.
So look, I'm living here in the land of the Brewers, but loving the Cubs and always have. So, to me, it's like to win in baseball, you gotta get to the playoffs, and then whatever that takes. So maybe that sounds silly, but it's not really so silly this year. They gotta win games. Then once you're there, you gotta be the best team in baseball defined this way. You have to be able to beat any opponent you might face in your series, as you would have referred to it before.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, the opposite of the stopper, I would say, is the sieve. That's what we called our high school goalie that couldn't stop a ball.
I like the sieve. Everything before that, Paco, felt like the most elemental baseball facts that have ever been expressed. And I know what you mean.
I think based on one of the calls yesterday, clearly we need some help. Well, we need some baseball education.
He's not wrong. You do need to win games to get in the playoffs. And then when you get there, you need to be better than the teams you play in those series.
I can't find a lot of fault with that.
I think he's spot on. The only thing I'll say, Paco, is that...
And this just in, Ken Rosenthal's reporting that Aaron Judge is good.
Win the division.
Thank you.
Win the damn division. You know, don't end up in a coin flip. I mean, it's ridiculous. That it's the Brewers that you're chasing. Yeah, fine. Your season has now begun.
It's much worse than that. It's much worse than just a coin flip game, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Then you get the Los Angeles Dodgers,
right?
Who have every right to just beat your brains in.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you what happened to a guy that I watched in that game last night, because I think there was a large.
I know who you're
talking about.
Oh yeah.
What happened to him?
Well, he got fat for one thing.
That's one of them. We'll talk about it next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Highlight courtesy of 670 The Score. Spiegs and Rosner here with you. Yes, so many texters guessed it, as I mentioned before the break. What happened to Matt Kemp? My goodness. I mean, I know, and I've been following, he crashed into the wall at one point after things had started going downhill in LA anyway, and that rattled his body went to San Diego when A.J. Preller was going for it with one of those trades. Now is in Atlanta. Rick Camp just told me he's got $65 million left on his deal. $65 million left that he is owed. But that guy can't move. And he used to be one of the most beautiful athletes in this game. A center fielder who almost had a 40-40 season when he won MVP. Or did he finish second in MVP to Ryan Braun? He finished second, right? Yeah, that's the year he finished second. But, I mean, my God, he was a center fielder who could do anything on a baseball field. And now you look at him, and he is lumbering in left. I'd rather have Kyle Schwarber in left field than Matt Kemp. That is absolutely true. And what happened?
Injuries, trades, money, off-the-field stuff, some high-profile off-the-field relationships.
Rihanna.
All kinds of stuff. All kinds of distractions.
Your old buddy Ned Colletti got unhappy with Matt Kemp a couple years after the MVP season. He was distracted, as you mentioned. There was some stuff that was going on. The effort was questioned by a lot of people in LA.
Well, and a lot of people didn't think that was a great contract to begin with. A lot of people didn't think that when he was signed to the big money that it was a great idea anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, not so much.
My goodness. It's just, he could barely, apparently he can still hit a little bit. Like, he's got 13 homers and 45 ribs. He's got an OPS of 825 right now. He can still hit a little bit. He has grounded into 18 double plays, which leads the National League. Should not be a surprise to anybody. And in left field, it's like, who ran on him? Two people ran on him. I think Happ. Ian Happ ran on him and got thrown out. I would have run on Matt Kemp, too. Not even going to fault you, Ian Happ. If I see Matt Kemp going for it, I'm like, there's no way he's going to be able to bend down and pick that up. No way. I'm getting
there
this
goes
extra
Spiegel.
Base.
I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, it's Matt Kemp.
And then he got tagged in the face. That's got to suck, right? You get tagged in the face, and they go to replay, and it was too close to overturn. Yep, the face tag is going to count, but no fault for you, Ian Happ. Everybody run on Matt Kemp the rest of the series. We'll do three technique. No break after the update on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.